And I know there's no woman size 14 here, so, but if there is, there's tracksuit tops for them as well. And I'll be leaving them on the table there. There's plenty of them there, so don't rush. For anyone who wants them, please take them away. So. Teen church is starting now. Any teenager who wants to go upstairs, please go up. There's leaders up there with you. And Barry, you stay here. You're staying with us. You're staying with us. Just a couple of announcements for the coming week. We have a prayer night on Wednesday night at 7:30. And this Friday, we have a youth night at 7 o'clock. And after church this morning, we'll continue with the health screening program with Dr. Kieran. And we'll be rolling it out to the women later on when the men are finished. So we're not neglecting you. So. And it was very successful last Sunday. We had over six men that came. So the rest of you, I want to come this morning, including Barry. So that's all the announcements for today. Now, CCI are holding a conference in Dublin next Friday and Saturday, starting at 7 o'clock next Friday night in St. Mark's Church. If you go online to CCI and you want to register, please do. And this morning, I believe, Sister Anne is going to share the word. So give her a warm welcome.
Just before Anne speaks, I want to just say to in February, some have been asking about fasting and praying, and Angela actually brought it up last night. We had a meeting with the ministry leaders, and I want to speak to you on the area of prayer and fasting, because it's a very effective, let me call it a tool, but it's actually a very effective biblical principle in the hand of God moving in your life. But before we do that, in February, I want to speak to you on, actually, we were singing about this morning, a life of faith. And in your situation, opening up some of the areas that perhaps you need to fast and break strongholds that the enemy has brought across your life, brought across your mind, your soul, your spirit. But I'm going to speak into this in February. And I think this morning in the worship docky, we can feel the effects of prayer. I feel that people are really beginning to pray here. And this morning, Anne is just going to speak regarding the personal work of prayer in her life. God does answer prayer. And we've been looking at Jonah. And in the life of Jonah, if you look at it, whenever he got into trouble, and he didn't seek God, as I read to you, the first place that was alerted that Jonah was not praying was heaven. The second part was the elements. The sea began was into turmoil. Then the ship. And the fourth thing, you have the sailors. Then the captain of the ship. And then you get to Jonah. And then eventually God has to do a powerful miracle in the preparation, the Bible says, the preparation of a fish to take care of Jonah and get him back to where he started. The power of prayer. God prepares things for you that you're not aware of. You'll hear it this morning. Amen? So in February, I want to look at this area of the life of faith to open up a life of the miraculous in your life that God will move. Amen? Praise God.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I think it's been a minute since I've spoken on a Sunday morning. So it's great to be with you in this way. And I feel like between the worship and Pastor Jared reading the psalm this morning, Psalm 13, powerful. And even just every single song we sang, it's like the Holy Spirit was already making the message clear, you know, his presence. We come into his presence. And, you know, we started this year on prayer. Pastor Jared opened it up the first Sunday. And then Barry, the last couple Sundays. Last week he gave us 7 signs of a praying church. And a couple of those were most members have a strong devotional prayer life committed to praying for others. The 2 of 7 was leaders are praying people and set an example. And so this morning I just want to, it's not a preaching message per se, but I want to give a testimony of Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, I'll be referring to different scriptures. Chapter 19, verse 10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the angel was saying to John, you know, don't worship me, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this morning, I pray that you can catch the testimony of Jesus this morning, and that it prophesy over your life, that it declare over your life regarding prayer. And I've kind of broken this up into 3 different sections, but I desire to be that personal testimony. I want to prophesy Jesus's good works of what he's doing. And so the 3 areas I've broken it up into this morning is our prayer life, and like I said, we've looked at it the last 3 weeks, is a lifelong journey. Okay, that's the first section. It's not what happens on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, as essential as those things are and as valuable as those things are, but it's a lifetime of prayer. The second is our seasons of life. Prayer looks differently depending on what season you're navigating, right? And the third area is the benefits of praying. Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. So we'll look at the benefits of the praying life. And like I said, I'll share along the way just one little personal area how God shifted my prayer life after walking with the Lord for many, many years. So again, seasons. So the lifelong journey is the first section. Psalm 37:25, and I'm just going to let the word of God speak. I was young, now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Now I realize I'm not as old as some of our elders here. But, you know, 60 plus, you know, 6 grandchildren later, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And this is to testify of this lifelong journey of prayer. I can look back over 60 plus years and say God has been faithful. God has been good in all the seasons, and how he has not only answered prayer, but he's met me in the highs and the lows. Even when he didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it answered. And that happens, folks. Even when he doesn't answer it the way I think he should answer it. As if, right? Like, no. But he has been faithful through each and every season, through every storm, through every pain, through every grief, the highs and the lows. So as we journey, I want to encourage you, as Barry did last week, get a real life, tangible Bible. And there's some... Are they New Testaments back there, or are they whole Bibles? The church can help you if you don't have one. But get something where you can, I mean, if you look through my Bible, there is a life, well, I've only had this one a few years. I go through Bibles over the years. I think I've had this about 4 years, because I wear them out. It's living, breathing. Holy Spirit illuminates it. And I can write my questions. I can underline the areas. It's a tangible thing versus, and I know I'm old. I was once young. I'm old. But I realize sometimes it's a generational thing, because we were just having this conversation this morning with Kieran. I don't remember and recall and learn on my technology and scrolling through, because we have been reduced to an instant gratification culture and society. But I encourage you, get a real, tangible, pages in a book Bible, and begin that journey. That's why we take captive the battle for our mind through technology, through social media, through our time, is an everyday occurrence. And I have to take captive those thoughts. And Paul wrote, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." What's next? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. That's why we have to take captive the distractions. That's why, and I'll share it in this next section, why I have to carve out time with the Lord. It has to be the priority in my life. And so for me, that means the Word. It means paper and a set aside time that I can talk with Jesus. So I'm sure as I have had to do, you have had to fight the good fight of faith, no matter how long your lifespan has been up to now. And you know, two of my favorite words, I say it over and over, but God, Psalm 34:19, the righteous have many troubles. Okay, that's living on planet Earth. But God delivers them from them all. That is Psalm 34:19, if that's a scripture you need to be reminded of today. So let's look at the seasons of life. My prayer has looked differently in the different seasons. I was a young girl, went to England when I was 14 to do secondary school, became a married young woman, had two beautiful children, took my babies to Zimbabwe. Marie and I had a beautiful conversation last week about Bulawayo, where I raised my kids for 4 years from babies. They were 4 and 6 when we came to Ireland, so before that we were in Zimbabwe. And she even knew the school, the preschool, that my son started at outside of Bulawayo. But what I'm saying is there's different seasons, and my life of prayer has looked differently. Raising my kids. We raised our kids in Ireland, mostly in Cork, from the time they were 7 and 5 to the time they finished secondary school. As a mother to children, I took my prayer life at that stage, took the responsibility of setting the atmosphere in my home. Okay, you know, teen years can be tumultuous sometimes. You can't have that attitude in our family room. You must go spend some time in your room until you're ready to change your attitude. Like, as a mother, I set the atmosphere. I took the responsibility to prayer walk around every single school they went to, because I had the responsibility to protect the spiritual atmosphere around my kids. So these are seasons of life. The next season, I had to release my grown children. When they went to university, I'm here, they're thousands of miles away. And my late husband and I, we always, our motto, if you want to say, is you raise and release them. So I had to come to a place where I was okay to release them into their adulthood. Again, prayer looked very different. Became a widow. Went through a grief journey. Had a new day journey with Barry when he came into my life 4 years later and married this man of God. Another prayer journey started. It was a good prayer journey, right? And then, it hasn't been a nightmare. I've been very blessed, I must say. I'm extremely blessed. And then you guys have witnessed the last four years of my own health journey and struggles. So prayer has looked different. So this morning, I just want to share one specific area as a testimony of Jesus, of how he shifted my prayer life for a season. So January 2012, I had been given a journal, and I had journaled off and on. Raising kids, you don't get much time to, like, journal. But I had journaled off and on. Sometimes it was years before entry. But in January 2012, the Lord took me to a new season of prayer. We're talking seasons here. And I call it two-way journaling, because I knew prayer was never meant to be a monologue. And you've heard that before, I'm sure. It's not a time to bring our lists to the Lord, though there is a time and place for that. You know, you have not because you ask not. There is a time and place for that. But my journal, two-way journaling, became my conversations with the Lord. I wanted to be, I would come, and I still do. In fact, why don't we put the picture up? I just wanted to give you a visual of my nook. Sometimes you hear me mention my nook time. This is where I start my day with the Lord. And that happened to be a beautiful day, the sunrise, and I took a photo. But the dialogue that our prayer is meant to be is a two-way conversation. And so I come to him in the mornings, and I say, Lord, what is on your heart? And I still myself. I take thoughts captive. I focus, like the word says, fix my eyes on Jesus. And I ask, Lord, what do you want me to hear from you today? So it's not an-focused prayer. It's God-focused prayer. Do you get the difference? And so I begin, like, January 2023, journal number 52, from January 2012, when I started my first one. So it has been a journey, and I have guideposts to look back to for when the Lord's spoken to me. I have little personal things. I do a squiggly when I've finished writing and ask the Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Let me just give you an example. So, like, what is she on about? So this was January 2nd, I think. And the Lord said, yes, Anne Louise, that's my name. From me, through me, and to me are all things, Romans 11:36. Remember this truth from my word as you step into 2023. There is nothing I do not see and nothing I do not have power over. That's just the beginning. And I never know what I'm going to write. This is my time with the Lord to ask what's on his heart. So I'll pour out my heart, yes, but I don't leave without asking, Lord, what is on your heart? What are you trying to say to me? So that's like my testimony of Jesus, how he changed my prayer life in January 2012. And still, even since that time, there's been ebbs and flows for different seasons, like when I was too ill to sit in my nook or was too ill to write, or, you know, I went through that life and death health situation. But the Lord was always with me. He proved himself faithful, that but God delivered me from it all. Amen? So I can testify today of God's goodness through the seasons. I use Romans 11:29. We were talking with Pastor Jer and Pam last week at lunch, and Barry had mentioned it. I said, I'm going to mention that. Romans 11:29 is your gifts and callings are irrevocable. Your gifts and callings are irrevocable. That means regardless of your circumstances. So I was widowed at 52 years old. The Lord said, Anne Louise, your gifts and callings are irrevocable. So I knew for me that meant I'm coming back to Ireland. You know, my kids and grandkids are in America. But no, my gifts and callings are irrevocable. And I just, I release that over you if you're struggling. What do I do, Lord? Just remember his word over you, and that he is faithful to his promises. And no, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong journey through the seasons. Are you with me? So Barry mentioned last week to start, or last 2 weeks, to start with a four-minute prayer time. And I think that's such an excellent practical way to get started. 4 minutes of a tangible place to start, to enter into the presence of the Lord, something to start building on in his presence. His presence must be our daily focus. So that is how my prayer life shifted in 2012. It was never meant to be a monologue, always a dialogue. What does scripture say? My sheep hear my voice. And so if you're unsure, shut down the distractions, just you and God, and start having a heart-to-heart. And you will begin to hear him. and it will become clearer. And it will never, whatever he says will never go against what his word says. Amen. So every day, I said that already, I want to pray his heart. I want to pray what moves him. Because, you know, where is it? I wrote it down. Psalm 139, verse 4. Psalm 139 is one of Pastor's favorite scriptures, too, about being fearfully, wonderfully made. But in verse 4, it says, before a word on my tongue, you know it already. So that's speaking to my lists. He already knows my needs. He already is there. And yes, it's good to voice them. And we, like, this is all within the context of our process of prayer with the Lord. But as we make space to hear from him, we can correct, we can readjust and find that peace that he promises in Philippians 4. Not to be anxious about anything. With all things, prayers and thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God, and the peace of God will dwell in you, your heart and your mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we seek him with all of our hearts, and we have the Holy Spirit who reveals matters to us, that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul's quoting Isaiah, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. What God has said, the next verse, verse 10 says, for God has revealed them to us by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You can hear his voice. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it complicated. So I have learned over time and years, as I spend time with the Holy Spirit, he reveals matters to me. He illuminates this. He, like this morning, as I was preparing, I'm like, Lord, just take the notes I've made. Use them, don't use them, but just speak through me, anoint through me, and illuminate your word to your sons and daughters. So this prayer diary, two-way journaling began at a particular season in my life. And it carries on. But now, as a 60-plus woman, now in good health again, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Maranatha, for standing with us and your prayers, that I will live and not die and proclaim the good works of the Lord. And that's what I trust I'm doing this morning. I'm proclaiming his good works. So number three, the benefits of a praying life. Seek his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33 is part of the Beatitudes when Jesus was speaking. When we seek him first, everything we need is added to us. But we get things front to back. We tend to panic when a crisis hits. I'm speaking to myself. Like, I just because I'm up here doesn't mean I don't have to battle, take every thought captive, put down the phone and the distractions, and fix my eyes on Jesus. But the benefits of a praying life is to me, it's a process. We learn to be content through every season. We learn. Do you hear that word? That's a process word. Because we build a testimony of his faithfulness through it all. We're building a testimony, guys. So it's precept upon precept upon precept. We're building that testimony. And then as Paul wrote, I have learned, again, that's a process. You've read your Bible. Paul went through a lot more trials, persecution, and suffering than I ever have. What did he say in Philippians 4:11? I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether in plenty or in want. I have learned, again, it's a process, to do all things through him who gives me strength. So we learn to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And if there's any verse I want you to take home today, it's that. It's Romans 12, verse 12. We learn to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And yes, sometimes the road seems way too long, and God seems silent, but God. but God. He sees your faithfulness in the struggle, and he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. And yeah, maybe you have lost your way and went off. The Holy Spirit's there to woo you back. His kindness leads us to repentance. And so you can be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So to start closing out, and in conclusion, I would say for Bill, his timing is perfect, even if it seems way too long for us. You know, I think I've spoken that here before, the difference between Kairos time and chronological time. His timing is always perfect. And I have learned, again, a process over my lifetime to continually rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal to me God's truth, illuminate his word, and reveal his answers for the journey. When God seems silent, sometimes it seems like our prayers hit the ceiling. It seems like he is silent or answers are hidden. Our behavior shouldn't change in seeking him first with all of our hearts. This is where the walk of faith comes in, brothers and sisters. It's a walk of faith. And whether you hear clearly or do not hear clearly, you know what the word says, and he is with you always, and he is faithful to his promises, and his promises will not be thwarted. That's in scripture. That is truth. And I loved, do you realize this morning as we're worshiping and praising and declaring his goodness, we're very politically uncorrect or incorrect. But what were we declaring in the lyrics of some of these songs? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. It is he. Jesus is the only answer. And we can't compromise that. We stand on that. And yeah, we may be challenged on that. But that's what the word says. So I just encourage you, especially if he's seeming you're in a season of silence, take that 4 minutes Barry was talking about last week. Take time in his presence and build these disciplines of prayer in your life over time and through the seasons. And I, again, like Paul wrote, I prayed this morning, my goal is that you be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely, what? Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's Colossians 3, 2 and 3. In this word are hidden the treasures you need. So I want to mine those treasures. I want to dig those treasures out. I don't want to give up on those treasures. And what does that require? Spending time in his presence, listening to his voice. Lord, what are you saying to me today? And following his lead as we move forward. Amen? And again, like I said, Pastor Jared read Psalm 13 this morning, and that capsulized this whole testimony of Jesus. That's why the Lord is so good. Holy Spirit is so good. The Holy Spirit guided the worship team members of which songs to sing. Pastor Jared doesn't tell them what to sing. The Holy Spirit guides them. And this is a rhythm of worship that we are blessed in Maranatha and Waterford to have such freedom and to go for it. I would have been dancing there. My stamina is still not there, and I knew I was preaching, so I didn't want to wear myself out before I got up here, but I would have been dancing in there in the worship, because that's all coming back to me. The Lord's restoring all of that after the years of suffering. So will you stand with me and allow me to pray for you? throughout our life journey, through every season, let's not forget his benefits. He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you. He's the one who leads you to repentance through loving kindness. If you're feeling dogged and condemned, you know that's not Jesus, because his word says he doesn't condemn us. He does convict us and draw us by his loving kindness, because he wants you healthy and whole. And that requires certain behavior and surrender, right? And so step by step, we build different ways of prayer into our lives. But like Barry said, some of you just need to start with 4 minutes. Just start doing it. Start building that platform, building that foundation in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just bless my brothers and sisters here at Maranatha this morning. Yeah, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, there are sons and daughters from many nations represented right here, and they have heart to serve and worship you. And so, Lord, I pray you speak daily to them by your presence, Lord. You tangibly invade their space, Lord God. And that they'll know. You'll get convicted, my brothers and sisters. Time to turn the phone off. Time to do this. Time to, you know. You'll know. And Lord, I just pray a new, I don't know what the word is. It's not stamina, but just a transforming of understanding of prayer life, that it's about you. It's about praising you. It's about being in your presence. It's about giving you praise and thanksgiving, Lord God. And yes, we make our requests known to you, but you're the one who already knows those requests, and you're the one who bestowed the peace on our hearts and on our minds in Christ Jesus. So for those that are struggling right now, in Jesus' name, I pray a removal of condemnation, a removal of lies that the enemy has shot at them. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you come, you wash that away in Jesus' name, and you say, you are my child. You come to me first, and I will direct your path. You trust in me first, and I will make your path straight. So we thank you, and we give you such praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.